electronic music. Weird. Strange. Far out. And as one composer has said, we assume that everything, no matter how distantly connected with electronic music, was discovered yesterday. The historical records contradict this idea, however. History tells us that more than 2,400 years ago, there lived in ancient India a scholar and teacher by the name of Panini, who experimented with the relationship between the shape of the mouth and the sound it produced. While Panini was making his discoveries in India, the scholars in far-off Greece were conducting experiments of their own. Pythagoras, the Greek mathematician, had made some of the most important discoveries concerning pitch. One day, as he had passed a blacksmith shop, his ear caught the differences in pitch that came from the different anvils. Pythagoras decided to conduct an experiment, actually one of the first scientific experiments on record. He took strings of equal thickness and stretched them equally. He discovered that if one string were twice as long as the other, the strings sounded an octave apart. Continuing to experiment with music, Pythagoras went on to discover the mathematical relationships, or ratios, on which all our major and minor intervals are based.
My name is Barton McLean, and I and my colleagues are about to transport you into our individual electronic music worlds in a rather unusual way. By taking our own finished compositions and breaking them down into component parts, each differently according to the special features of the particular work, so that you, the listener, are brought directly into the studio and given a ringside seat in the creation of the work. Although we will talk about music produced by synthesizers, recorded by microphones, or controlled by computers, and may mention some technical terms, a foreknowledge of electronic music is not at all necessary. On the other hand, anyone who has anything to do with electronic music can perhaps benefit from these insights into how a composer imagines a process and how this process is then used to complete the finished work. The first work we're going to talk about, The Sorcerer Revisited, uses the synthesizer and computer. The synthesizers are the ElectroComp 101 and the ARP 2600, along with a couple of custom modules built by Terry Kincaid from Edmonds, Washington. And the computer device is a Synthi 256 sequencer, which is really just a small computer. The interesting thing about The Sorcerer is that it uses what we call a patch, a basic patch, throughout, the same one. Now, a patch is just a synthesizer term for all the connections of various modules in the synthesizer that produce a varied and interesting sound and then allow us to control lots of different things during the course of a piece. In other words, the sum total of all the connections in the synthesizer that are producing the sound. It looks a little bit like a spaghetti. I mean, there's so many chords going all over the place, and the more complicated the patch is, the more chords you have. And in this case, since you're talking about a basic patch that lasts for, say, about 10 minutes of the piece, it has to be rather complicated. And in this case, it takes about 3 days to just to set it up so that you get exactly what you want. Another interesting feature to me is that I didn't really have any idea whatsoever that I was going to use elements of The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Dukas, which incidentally is a work I admire very much. I had no idea I was going to use this when I started out with the piece. I had something completely different in mind. This often is the case with composers, and I think it shows a basic way that we work. As it finally turned out, this patch seemed to sound more like an accompaniment than any kind of melody. Now I'm going to play several segments, each one representing a different section of the piece. Notice the similarities in this patch. For one thing, it has a very steady beat in each section, although the beat is quite different from one section to another.
Hello, and welcome back to The Eternal Now, now in its weekly digestible form, here on WFMU.org. My name is Andy Ortman. As you have been listening to and may have already guessed, this segment's going to be dedicated to electronic music. No, not dance, techno, or house, but the original electronic music. We just heard from Barton McLean from an album, a double album, From the Outside In, which is sort of, as he described, a detailed glimpse into the production of electronic music. We started that set off with the soundtrack to a film strip, Pathways to Music, on none other than electronic music. We're going to keep things moving right along. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. Hope this is your bag. If not, maybe it will be.
Thank you. Oh,
far back from that very strange and weird place that we call electronic music. That seems to be so popular with the kids these days. All that bleeping and blooping. Well, we just heard from Elon Mimaroglu with the track Wings of the Delirious Demon. And you're probably asking yourself, really, did we really need to hear that track again? Well, the answer is yes, because it's just that good. Elon Mimaroglu. And in front of that lovely track, we heard Daria Samigan from a compilation, Electronic Music Winners. Her winning track was called Electronic Composition Number 1. How creative. I really do like her stuff, though. She's got another great track on another compilation called Satan's Sermon. I believe she also did a collaborative album of electronic music for dance. Daria Samigan. And in front of that, we heard Xanagoria with a track, Killam, from an album, Insight Modulation. Don't know a whole lot about Xanagoria, but I do know that I really like the name Xanagoria. Mid-70s era electronics, as is the track before that by Morton Subotnick, a key figure in the West Coast development of electronic music, heading up the Tape Music Center in San Francisco back in the day, popularizing the Buchla synthesizer, as was a track from this album, Until Spring, a lesser talked about Subotnick album, but a great one nonetheless. And that brings us up to speed, I believe. It does. Let's hear a little bit more from Barton McLean. Let's hear what he has to say about all this.
The next work of mine, Heavy Music for Four Crowbars, explores the technique of music concrète, that is, electronic music that is produced by live sounds and recorded by microphones, rather than being produced by a synthesizer, as in the last work. Now, you might think that a crowbar is a rather mundane instrument for use in a musical composition, but in fact, this piece, which lasts about 4.5 minutes, utilizes nothing but crowbars throughout. First, let's hear the instruments. These are ordinary junkyard-type crowbars. The soprano, the alto, the tenor, and the bass crowbar. In this case, they were suspended so that they ring freely. Now listen to them as I put them on a foam rubber pad and treat them as a xylophone so that they don't ring quite as much. At this time, let's listen to a short but complete section of the work. We will use this particular section to show how I take one sound out of this and make it more interesting through manipulation through the synthesizer and other electronic means. Here is the completed section. ¶¶ let's see if we can recreate this section. The first thing I did was to just lay these crowbars out on a foam rubber pad and play them with the plastic end of a screwdriver. Now let's see if we can recreate this section. The first thing I did was to just lay these crowbars out on a foam rubber pad and play them with the plastic end of a screwdriver. Next, making a tape loop, which means that the sound will infinitely recycle over and over again. Now the tape loop is put through the ring modulator to make it sound richer and more interesting. At this point, we filter the sound. And then the original sound is added to the filtered sound. Now reverberation is added, and then the sound will be stored on an 8-channel tape recorder. This is not the final recording, because later on we will mix those 8 channels down to 2. At this point, notice that we are going to start with no reverb and gradually add reverberation as the excerpt goes, and so you will be able to hear the effect of the reverberation being added. Now you have heard how we produce just one sound, typically 1.5 days' work. At this point, I would like to play you the whole section that this little sound fits into without the sound first. Thank you.
I'm very high up. I'm looking down on a landscape, on a vast landscape. It's all dry.
It's a scene that one would never see or never has seen in one's life.
It looks like the moon because it's all dried up. It's a very funny red. It's like the moon.
It was the atmosphere. It was the air, the freshness of it all. And as I looked, I could see the mountains. They seemed to be around me and yet far from me, as though I was somewhere that was so high and so very fresh, a freshness that I've never felt before. It seemed to be in a foreign country.
And in the distance, a black cliff. A big, towering black cliff.
The scene is always sort of rather grey and dark, rather misty.
And then the sun began to come up over the mountain. So the sun began to rise. And instead of being mist and fog, there was a most glorious sunshine and a beautiful sea.
And I saw this very deep blue sky. And these beautiful white clouds, they weren't rain clouds. Beautiful white clouds were mounting and mounting and mounting. And that was the whole scenery.
It's a scene that one would never see or never has seen in one's life.
I can remember a great big blue feeling of clouds, blue sky and clouds. I went over lots of fields of things I seem to remember. Lots of fields of things.
And there was a very deep blue sea. I could hear this voice. This woman singing. I couldn't hear what she was singing. It was a foreign voice. But her words were clear, although I couldn't speak the language that she was singing. Her words were clear. I knew that I was somewhere foreign. Seemed to be in a foreign country.
It looks like the moon because it's all dried up. It's a very funny red.
Getting hazier and hazier.
It's the colour of earth, but the red is kind of a terracotta red. The whole of this landscape, the whole of this surface of the land is broken up and dried up like a riverbed, as though it's made of clay. All of it is cracked. It's just like the moon. It's all dried up and cracked into hundreds and thousands of cracks and holes. It's like the moon. It's red. The whole of the surface of this land is red.
Getting hazier and hazier.
The colour of clay, I suppose. Yes, it's the colour of clay, and it's all broken and cracked over, rather like a clay pot or something like this, and the sun has dried the whole of this surface. It's just like the moon. And in the distance, a black cliff. Big towering black cliff.
And I looked into the distance.
And here we are. You, me, all this wacky electronic music. We just heard from Fred Weinberg from an album entitled The Weinberg Method. 1958 Revisited was that track. In front of that, we had Delia Derbyshire from a bootleg record that was, I believe, a BBC radio program, but someone pressed it to vinyl. How about that? Delia, probably most widely known for her composing the theme music for Doctor Who and along the way a lot of other electronic music for the show, and I think an LP called The Tomorrow People, and she was on the first White Noise album, etc., etc. Dreams. Another dreamer, Twig Harper, in front of that, with a new reissue of an album entitled Music for Higher Dimensional Consciousness. I definitely see how that title fits into play with this album, these recordings. New on Somnimage from Twig Harper. And we started that set off with Barton McLean, again from the album Electronic Music from the Outside In. This time Barton analyzing his track Heavy Music for Four Crowbars. That one is a dandy. And I think that's going to bring us to the end of this week's installment. Thanks for hanging around. Hope you had as good of a time as I did. My name is Andy Ortman. You're listening to WFMU.org. This is The Eternal Now. Thank you. And hopefully we can do this again next week. Goodbye.